What's up, everyone? In today's episode of Compressed FM, we're going to talk all about podcasting on a podcast that is focused on web design and development. And at the end, we'll tell you a few things that we would do differently if we were to start podcasting from scratch right now.
Hello, my name is Amy Dutton, and I'm a senior UI UX designer and front-end developer.
What's up, everyone? My name is James Q. Quick, and I'm a JavaScript developer, speaker, and teacher.
Web development and design, who would have guessed? Well, we can do them both, even add a little zest. So turn up the volume, get ready for the best. Let's get it started in this episode of Compressed.
Today, we are joined by three fabulous sponsors. Zeal is a software consultancy, and they are hiring. Vercel will meet all of your hosting needs. And Dado CMS is a headless CMS. More from each of these later in the show. So James, what have you been up to?
I played golf today and I shot my best score ever on a round of 18 on a brand new course, which is pretty exciting. Maybe less stale information since I'm sure golf gets old, or at least be talking about it. I have like publicly committed now to my jschallenges.com domain and the project associated with that. So I referenced it in a YouTube video and a post on Twitter. And that just means that now I've got to force myself to be accountable and actually go and create this course, or actually like series of mini courses, I think is how I'm going to structure it. But I'm looking forward to creating some pure JavaScript content out there to help people get better at JavaScript and do better in their interviews. Amy, what have you been up to?
Well, this is funny because in the notes, I said I've been up to a super secret project. But if you're going to name your project, then I feel like I'm going to have to name mine. So it's been a busy week. I've been putting together some stuff for a project that I'm going to release around the holidays called Advent of CSS and Advent of JavaScript and Advent of SVG. So hopefully I can get through all three. But the idea is that it'll have 24 challenges leading up to December 25th. So pretty excited about that. Been working on the design, but it'll be fun.
That's awesome. And I didn't do this to put you on the spot, to be honest. I hadn't read your notes about what you were going to say you've been doing, and I just jumped in with mine. But this is kind of cool. Hopefully we can do some collaboration and like test out each other's content and give a second thumbs up as we go through and create stuff. So hopefully what that means for people out there listening is this content across the board from both of us is going to be top notch. So make sure to check it out.
Yeah, I would say collaboration, not dueling.
Yes. Which we are working on a theme for this podcast where Amy and I duel. Primarily, it's been over spending money on gadgets. And I think we'll talk a little bit about at least some of the gadgets that we bought later on in the episode. But we've been doing a lot of conversations about gadgets that we bought and had a lot of fun doing that.
It's actually dangerous.
And maybe this is the natural transition to the first thing about running a podcast is gear. And I think this is probably like any form of media. We talked about YouTube in the previous video. We will talk about blogging in the next one. But I think any type of content, people get a little bit intimidated and they think, hey, I've got to go out and buy all this gear. I've got to invest money to get started doing these things. But I think most importantly, probably the easiest thing or the best thing to say to start off is just use what you have. If you have an iPhone and you have iPhone headphones, use that. If you have some sort of cheap mic that you've used for things in the past, use that. Whatever works just to get started will get you started and you can continue to upgrade from there.
Yeah, I'd say the biggest thing is just not using your built-in laptop speaker. As long as you have headphones with a mic port on it, you're good to go. For the most part, it's not about the gear. There is a lot more value in the content and what you're providing for people. But it is kind of funny with all of this. I will say that one caveat is I've heard a lot of creators talking about how production value is starting to mean more and more as people create more and more content. And there's some competition out there that sometimes the production value will get your foot in the door a little bit faster than if you did use your laptop speakers.
Yeah. If you're looking for people to respond more to it, like obviously the quality of the content and the sound in this case does become more and more important, but just see it started. Just use what you have. Mm-hmm. Amy and I have been on this kick again of buying gear and experimenting with things. And I've been looking for the best way to do audio with my phone for TikTok videos. So people go and check me out on TikTok. We're doing plugs early today. I guess we'll just run with it. But one of the things that people were saying is there's the Rode Micro, which people can go and look this up. It's one that Amy and I both have for a smaller microphone to record audio. And they were saying the iPhone mic that's built into it is not that far off, like 80 to 90% as good as that $60 dedicated microphone. So I would suggest if you have a nice modern smartphone, you can just use that directly. And a little bit of extra tip here, you want to remove ambient noise. That's one of the things that really affects your audio. So if your computer is running hot or you've got fans on in the house or you've got something like that, So I'd recommend like finding a closet and hang up a blanket on the wall. You don't even have to invest in like sound foam or anything like that. Just get a blanket, put a couple of nails on the wall to hold it up there, and it'll absorb that sound and help get rid of the echo or ambient noise. So I think, again, just use what you have, take your smartphone, start recording, create the content, and then look towards if this is something you enjoy, if it's something you want to grow at, then you can invest piece by piece and getting extra pieces of microphones or foam squares for the wall to absorb noise, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think probably the best place you could record is in your closet because mm-hmm. you have all those clothes up everywhere. I haven't gotten to that point yet.
That is one of my favorite podcasts is from the two main characters from Scrubs, one of my favorite shows that I've talked about a lot. And on their podcast, Donald Faison records in his closet and is known for that. But I bet he gets great audio out of it just for that reason.
That's funny. We watched The Making of Raya, which is a Disney animated film that was released on Disney Plus, and they did all of the production work during COVID. And so even the voice actors were recording from home. And so they were showing video clips of some of these people recording in their closets, which is funny that you have a Disney animated film where people are literally recording in their closets. So we covered our gear a little bit more in depth in episode number 14. We talked a lot about our desk setup. We talked about our YouTube setup, our podcast setup. And one of the points that we made even in that episode was what you start with doesn't necessarily have to be what you end with. So even since recording episode number 14, now we're in 25, I've actually upgraded my podcast setup. So I'm actually using the exact same setup James is using. So just because you start in one place doesn't mean you have to stay in that place.
Yeah, I love that you already have that example built in. And this is something we were excited for you to do this upgrade, but it's not required, right? Just enough to get started and then make your changes as you can.
That's right. Once you have the tools in place, there are probably a few decisions that you want to make up front. And one of those is going to be why. So you might even be wondering on a podcast about web design and development, why are we talking about podcasting? But we have a previous episode where we talk about learning and building in public and the advantages that that has not only in your career, but your ability to learn and become a better designer or developer. And so we fit podcasting in that category, just being able to talk through what you're learning and some of the concepts is going to make you a better communicator. It's also going to help you understand the things that you're learning if you can turn around and teach that to somebody else.
Yeah. And I think one of the really cool benefits of podcasts as well, like a lot of people like doing videos. I do a lot of video. You do a lot of video. But a lot of people don't really feel comfortable being on camera and having them as a person be shown. So podcasting is a great way to get content out there in the same vein, to share the things that you have learned that you want to share, that you want to teach other people. And do that in a little less intimidating way. It also takes a little less gear, going back to the gear conversation, but you can get started and just talk. And I think that's one of the cool things for us is it comes a little bit naturally for us once we get going, because it's stuff that we're just excited to talk about. And you just have this really natural conversation and you don't have to worry about what you look like or what the video looks like. You can just focus on what you want to say.
Another great piece about podcasting is the networking aspect. Either as more people learn about who you are and what you do, that's an opportunity for you and your career. But also, if you have an interview style podcast, then you can meet other people within the industry. So as you're making these decisions up front, that kind of leads into the next point. As you're making decisions up front, there's several different formats that you can lean into. So one of those would be an interview format where you're constantly interviewing different people within the industry. And like I said, that's a great opportunity to network. You can also do a monologue. So one of the podcasts that I listen to is by a lady named Amy Porterfield, and she focuses all on digital marketing. And most of her podcasts are mostly a monologue format where she's teaching a concept. Another format would be a co-host podcast, which is what we do. It's also the Syntax Podcast or Shop Talk Show.
And then one other cool version of this is a crossover episode. So it's quite convenient that you just mentioned Syntax and Shop Talk, because they just did a crossover episode themselves where they all joined and then published the episode on both of their platforms. And I think that's a really cool thing that we want to explore eventually as well. So if you have any podcasts that you would like to hear us collaborate with and do a joint crossover podcast, let us know on Twitter at CompressedFM and give the other podcast a shout as well, so we can try to make some new friends ourselves.
Yeah. And there's different pros and cons to these different formats. Personally, when I was thinking about starting a podcast, I didn't want to do a monologue. It just didn't seem like a good fit for me. I didn't want to just talk or ramble for an hour. Amy Porterfield, the person I gave the example of, she does a great job of staying engaged. But I feel like that takes a different type of skill to carry on a monologue for however long by yourself. the interview podcast, I've heard, can be difficult trying to schedule interviews and queue all those up. So the nice thing about the co-host podcast, which is obviously where we landed, is that we're only trying to work between mine and James's schedule on a regular basis. That's not to say we don't want interviews in the future, but at least for right now, we're just trying to manage two people's schedules.
Yep. And we already have enough of rescheduling and stuff, which I feel like is more on my end than Amy's, for what it's worth, if we're being transparent about it. But yeah, it's just us that we have to work around. And I'm curious, maybe going back to why, I'm going to put you on the spot and then you can put me on the spot if you would like to as well. What was your number one reason? Because people who don't know the story, like Amy and I did an episode of my Learning Quick stream, which, going back to doing interviews, is like a great way to just reach out and meet people. And you never know what those relationships will lead to. Hint, hint, an awesome podcast that we're doing now. But Amy, when you reached out to me and asked if I was interested in doing a podcast, what was your number one reason? What was your inspiration for wanting to do a podcast?
Yeah. So I had wanted to do a podcast for probably 7 years, which is crazy. I bought my Rode Podcaster mic almost 7 years ago and I didn't have a co-host. And I kind of used that as an excuse. I thought about doing the interview podcast. Some of us just trying to make time and figure things out. But once we were on the stream together, I feel like we had great conversation. The hour passed very quickly. And I just thought, James doesn't have a podcast right now. This might be an opportunity for us to do something together and to collaborate. So that's why I reached out to you. But ultimately, my why and why I wanted to do a podcast in the first place is I really just enjoy teaching. I have a passion for teaching and sharing the knowledge that I have. And really, I almost call it a burden of knowledge. The fact that I've been in the industry for almost 20 years, which is ridiculous, but wanting to share that information with other people. When I started 20 years ago, it was a whole lot easier to learn things. CSS was barely a thing. You still had style sheets and that kind of thing, but we were building websites and tables. Now it's completely different. I feel like a lot harder to get started, but I want to share those learnings with other people and make the path just a little bit easier for them.
If you were to reverse this and ask me the same question, my answer would be pretty much the same. I think this is the benefit of just now having so many people that are creating content and so many people that are becoming content creators. And it's this idea that there's so much knowledge and experience and opportunity to learn that's out there. We just need it to be communicated. We need it in the form of content, which is why we take this kind of mini series. And we've talked about learning and building in public so seriously, because it's so valuable for so many people. And so, Amy, when you reached out to me and you said, are you interested in doing a podcast? And I wanted to really get a feel, because we didn't know each other that well at the time, but I wanted to really get a feel for your why. And the fact that your why was pretty spot on with mine, of just like, we have stuff that we want to share with other people that we think they can benefit from and we want to teach. That really resonated with me. It's a big reason why I create content. It's a big reason why I teach myself. And I think that it has worked out pretty well. So again, we've talked about with content in the past, like, it's not a thing that we do to get famous or to be an influencer. We do it because we want to provide value first and foremost. And if there's an audience that builds around that, obviously we're excited and thrilled to have that. But first and foremost, it comes from a place of creating value and teaching others.
I think as we talk about some of the decisions that we made early on, a huge part of that was not trying to recreate something that somebody else had already created. I know we talk about Wes and Scott a lot in the Syntax podcast, I think just because we really admire what they've done in the industry and for other people, but we're not trying to recreate the Syntax podcast. And so we talk specifically about what are our differentiators. So a huge part of that is talking about design as well as development and trying to reach both audiences, because I do believe there's a crossover there.
And there's just the innate benefit of, you can never have too many perspectives, honestly, on a topic. Like, having more people to learn from, having more perspectives, even if it is on the exact same topics, is valuable in itself. There's really not a limited amount of seats at the content creator space. There's plenty. So yeah, I think we certainly have our similarities. I think we certainly have our differences. But at the end of the day, people can benefit from both. They could benefit from either. And all the people that we have listening and following along with us, we are thrilled to have you.
Yeah. If you Google a topic, you'll see a million results on a particular topic, but that doesn't stop people from creating new content on that topic. I think what you have to say is incredibly valuable.
And now it's time to take a second to talk about one of our sponsors, which is Dado CMS. Dado CMS is a complete and performant headless CMS built to offer the best developer experience and user friendliness in the market. One of the things I think is really interesting and neat on their website is, if you hover on their Why Dado CMS tab in the nav bar, you see sections for developers, digital marketers, and content creators. So it's got the entire audience covered. They also provide a rich CDN-powered GraphQL API with real-time updates, which is really neat. So all of you who love working with GraphQL and are looking for something that has real-time updates, this is really, really cool. They also provide a super flexible way to handle dynamic layouts and structured content, and then have best-in-class image and video support with progressive image loading out of the box. So if you're looking for a headless CMS that can help represent every member of your team, make sure to check out Dato CMS. So as you come up with an idea for a podcast, one of the things that we've got listed here is to think of show segments or things that you're going to repeat in your different episodes. And Amy, I'll let you talk about some of the ones that we've got. But the thing that really comes to mind that I have really figured out just goes across the board, YouTube videos, conference talks, podcasts, things like that. People that are following the content, they want to feel like they're a part of it. And there's multiple ways to get people engaged. There's multiple ways to have people feel like they're part of something. One of the ways that you do that is with this repeatability where they know what to expect. They know how the show flows. They know they're waiting for maybe when you and I take this competing picks thing. Maybe that's what we should do. We should call it competing picks. There's our new tagline. But where we kind of battle on the different pieces of tech that we bought. Like if we really get a lot of energy in that and we do that every other episode or something, that might be the type of thing that people are like, okay, I'm going to go listen to the episode, but I'm really waiting to hear how they like draw out their battle of which product is better. So as you have these expectations and you kind of know what's coming, you feel more connected to it and you're more likely, I think, to stick around and come back for more.
Yeah, for sure. So one of those segments, as James alluded to, is picks and plugs. So we'll have this segment at the end, but it's where we pick something that we like and we plug something that we've been working on. Another segment is grab bag questions. And that came from the fact that I think we both enjoy listening to podcasts where they field questions from strangers and friends alike on the internet. And there are whole episodes that are devoted to the questions coming in. We wanted to include a small segment on every single podcast to give people an opportunity to feel like they're part of the episode.
And I think that's huge. That's honestly one of the things I think that I enjoy most. Again, going back to interaction, like having people feel like they're part of the show, to just something small, like to hear their name read out, but specifically to hear their question read out and answered, and to know that we take the time to respond to those, I think actually goes a long way. So that is actually one of my favorite features, just because I feel like it's got a much bigger community feel than just you and I talking. You and I talking is great. Tying other people into it in the best way we can, I think, is pretty neat too.
Well, and I think it also kind of leads the episode to go a way that's most helpful to listeners. I mean, we could easily talk about what we think is important, but if we're not providing value, it's not really going to do a lot of good.
Agreed. Absolutely. The next iteration of things to consider when you come up with your podcast idea, you want to get started and then you're like, okay, how do I actually execute on this? Where do I host? What are the hosting options? Amy, I know you did the majority of the research in this area before we started talking. Do you want to kick us off with the hosting options?
Yeah. So a lot of the hosting options are pretty comparable. So I think the most important thing is for you to decide upfront what features are the most important to you. Whatever option you decide, I would just encourage you not to self-host, because what you're really hosting is an RSS feed and your MP3 files. And you just never want that to go down or for that to be dependent on you and your server. So there's plenty of companies out there that this is their sole focus, is to host podcasts. And so I would just encourage you to find a company that meets your needs. So a few that we considered, the Zeal podcast is hosted on Buzzsprout. That's a great solution. They have a few built-in tools that make it really easy. For example, I'll mention Auphonic later. They have Auphonic's leveling and compression built into their system. But for me, I didn't like their players. I didn't like the way that their players looked, and I wanted more access to an API to be able to develop something custom. Anchor is a great solution. It's free. But one thing to keep in mind is that I've heard several people mention reservations, because if it's free, you're paying in some other form or fashion, whether that's their ability to control sponsorships or how information is displayed. I didn't want to hand that over. I would rather pay cash to have more control. So what really came down to making the decision for me was analytics and being able to get information on which podcasts are the most helpful for people, their APIs, being able to display that information for potential guests or sponsors. And the two that we narrowed it down to is Transistor.fm and Simplecast. And at the time, there were more analytics options available through the API with Simplecast than Transistor. I've been told by Transistor's creators that they've expanded their API now. So they're pretty much the exact same thing. So those would be my two recommendations.
I think it's one of those things where you get into the analysis paralysis where you're completely new to a field and you just don't really know where to start. And I think we've all been there. Like I watch tons of YouTube videos about how to create YouTube videos and how to do audio and how to set up lighting and all these things. It is a learning process. If you can find recommendations from people you trust, in this case, hopefully people will trust the recommendations that Amy had. But if you hear other recommendations from people that you trust that have experience and maybe have tried a few out or at least looked into them, that's probably a really good place to start. So hopefully those insights are a good place for you to start if you're interested in getting started with a podcast as well. And if you do that, we'd love to hear from you on Twitter. So if you're interested, if you have an idea for a podcast, even if you haven't started recording, you haven't done anything with it, we'd love for you to share that on Twitter. If you use the Compressed FM handle, we'd love to hear what you may be thinking about.
Yeah. So a few other elements that you'll want to create on the front end are cover artwork. So this is the image that somebody will see when they are listening to your podcast. What I would encourage you to do is to go through an existing podcast directory and look at all the cover images and see what really sticks out. I think the important thing is your cover artwork must look good at small and large resolutions. So it might fill the entire screen on a mobile device, but it might be as small as a tiny postage stamp if it's been reduced down to the corner. So after you have all these elements in place, obviously you'll want to launch your podcast and release it out into the world. A few tips and tricks that we found is releasing a trailer. And the trailer allows you, yes, to make an announcement that your podcast is coming, but more importantly, it allows you to prime your RSS feed. So it's not necessarily about building your audience just yet, but allowing you to submit your RSS feed to multiple podcatchers. So you can't release that until you actually have something in your feed to tell them about. This was a little bit of a surprise to me that you actually have to submit your RSS feed to all the different podcatchers. And there are a few services that will do that for you. So you just submit it once and then they'll submit it to everybody. But I would actually recommend doing that yourself. It takes a little bit more work on the front end, but allows you to have complete control over that feed. So if you ever move away from that service, you have accounts set up in all the appropriate podcatcher directories and you're not having to backtrack or move your podcast and lose potential subscribers.
And when we say podcatchers here, these are the different places when people say you can find us on any of the places that you can find podcasts. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, those are the two that I use myself. I don't know what the other ones are, but that's what you're talking about when you say podcatchers.
Yeah, thanks for calling that out. So Google would be another one. iHeartRadio, I think, is another one. There's tons, ones that I hadn't even heard of. But at least with Simplecast, they actually had a checklist in their back end. So I just went down the checklist and it gave me directions for each service on where to submit those links.
So one of the other things that people may be wondering about is how do you get sponsors? And this is like one of the probably longer term benefits of doing a podcast, if you were to grow, is to get sponsorships and start generating income based on the words that you have to say and the advice and wisdom that you have to share. We were actually fortunate enough to start and launch the podcast with a few sponsors, and that mainly came from existing relationships that we had. Amy and I both have communities and relationships with people at different companies that we felt were relevant. And so we went to them and said, hey, we're starting a podcast. I was fortunate enough to have Amy do a prospectus, which is kind of like a pitch PDF to show what we're about, what our targets are, and that sort of stuff, and be able to share like a really nice document with people to consider us for sponsorship. So we actually launched with sponsors. And I would say that that's not very common. I would say, again, that comes from like our audience, our networks. So don't expect if you start a podcast and you don't have those sort of relationships to start with sponsors, but that's something that you can start asking about at any time. I think you have to keep in mind, like in terms of what the rate is, how much you're charging for a sponsorship for an episode or a package of episodes. You have to keep that in line with what your audience is or what your expected audience is in terms of listens and downloads and that sort of stuff. So you can certainly change and adapt that as you grow, but don't be afraid to ask. This is the cool thing is you have something to offer. It may or may not have a huge audience yet. It may grow more later on, but you still have something to offer and it never hurts to ask. So you may reach out to companies like who would be your ideal company that you would love to represent, that you would be really happy to talk about. Maybe reach out to someone on Twitter and send them a DM and say, hey, I'm starting this podcast. Would you be interested in either supporting and or getting something in return?
I think the important thing is just to get away from this mentality of build it and they will come. I know that comes from the movie Field of Dreams, but it doesn't necessarily work that way. I think we'll eventually get to the point where sponsors and companies are beating down our door because they want to sponsor our podcast, or at least hopefully we'll get to that point. But a big part of it is they don't know you're going to launch a podcast, or they don't know that your podcast is trying to target their exact customer. So it's important that you ask, and maybe you don't have a sponsor because you haven't asked sponsors if they're even interested.
Yeah, there's the meta conversation about wishing or hoping or thinking things into existence. And that's a little too meta for what we're talking about, but it's kind of similar. Like, people aren't going to know if you don't tell them, and they're never going to say yes if you don't ask. And so you might as well ask. And if you have learnings, just like doing an interview, if you do an interview and it doesn't go bad, if you ask for a sponsorship and they say no, and you get feedback that they say, we're looking for someone with this size of an audience, or that's too much money, then you can adapt from there and set yourself some goals to get to the point where you can bring that person or company on as a sponsor.
Let's take a brief break and talk about Vercel, one of our Compress.fm sponsors. And we could not do this podcast without their support. Vercel will meet all of your hosting needs, and we're actually hosting the Compress.fm site and my personal site, selfteach.me, on Vercel. They also power more well-known sites like Twilio, but you can use them for e-commerce, travel, news, and marketing sites. You name it, they can host it. When I got ready to launch the compressed site, it was super easy. I pointed it to the GitHub repository and told it what folder my Next.js project was in, and then it just worked. Ridiculous, right? But they also power over 30 plus Jamstack frameworks, including Create React App, Next, Nuxt, Vue, Ember, Svelte, Angular, Hugo, and Gatsby, just to name a few. But one of my favorite features is when you set up your account, you get your own dashboard. And here you can invite other team members to collaborate or view analytics. So as soon as I push the code to my GitHub repository, it deploys that code and I can watch the build and its entire process through their custom dashboard. So be sure to check out Vercel. I'll include a link in the show notes, but special thanks to Vercel for being a Compress.fm sponsor.
Probably the biggest section here logistically for people that are interested is like what our workflow is. And so we talked about, since we are a co-hosted podcast, we have to coordinate with each other. We typically record on Sunday afternoons, and then we try to throw in sometime during the week so that we can record a couple of episodes beforehand. And what we will do is we'll create notes in Notion for the podcast. Sometimes we're more prepared and do those earlier than others. But we have notes in Notion that we follow, and we're both kind of scrolling through these as we record. And we record through a product called Squadcast. So this allows us to see each other with a video chat and then also record our audio. And it will record both of our audio feeds locally, separately, and then upload that at the end so that Amy gets two really good files that we can use. And one of the things we've learned is we had an episode not get recorded, or it kind of failed at the end once. And that was enough for us to just also record locally on our machines at the same time. So Amy and I both use ScreenFlow for this, but we will run Squadcast where we can see each other and hear each other. And then we will additionally record our audio with ScreenFlow just in case something happens. We have a backup there.
Yeah. And one of the reasons that I was really interested in Squadcast is because, as James said, it records it locally and then uploads it. Whereas solutions like Zoom or Skype, it's a voice over IP. So there's some compression there and it's going to mess with the quality of your audio versus allowing us to record it locally and then uploading that version.
And one of the ones I would love to hear you talk about is Descript. So this is a tool that I've heard about from my friend Chris Sev on Twitter. He has raved about this as an editing tool for video and for audio in this case. But tell us a little bit about how we use Descript and some of the cool, neat features that come along with it.
Yeah. So out of Squadcast, as James mentioned, I get two audio tracks and they're the exact same length. And then I can dump those into Descript. So Descript will see those and mesh them together, create a multi-sequence, and then it will transcribe our audio. So after recording about an hour worth of audio, it takes a couple of minutes for it to transcribe our entire conversation. And then I can go in and edit the transcription and it will edit the audio file, which is insanely helpful, especially if I'm trying to skim for notes later. So it just becomes really easy to edit because you're almost editing this Word document, but it also becomes really easy when I'm trying to create show notes because I can just skim through the transcript and find what I'm looking for. Another piece that Descript does is it allows you to create those social media images where you can see the captions and the words. We've been experimenting with that actually a little bit this week. But one of the tips and tricks that I picked up with Descript is that I add a little bit of panning into our audio. So if you think about it, when you have a conversation with somebody, you're not hearing them equally in your left and your right ear. because they might be off to the side or whatnot. So if you listen carefully, I'm slightly more in your left ear and James is slightly more in your right ear.
Dominating your right ear right now. I guess I haven't paid that close attention. This is a new thing for me. I didn't realize you did the painting. That's kind of neat. I will definitely be listening to them differently in the future now.
It's very small and very subtle, but it's one of those things that just adds that next level of quality. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get more of the back and forth, like almost watching a tennis game where you're moving back and forth, left and right. You can kind of hear it that way. That's cool. Yeah,
that's right. So from Descript, I'll export the file as a WAV file. And the reason I keep it as a WAV is because that's a higher quality file. You want to keep it as lossless as possible, as long as possible. So I'll export it as a WAV file, and then I'll send it to Auphonic. And I mentioned them earlier. I think Buzzsprout has that built into their system. But what Auphonic does is it will add levels and equalizing to the audio. And they actually create this graph to show what it looked like before and after they processed your file. So I can tell what good audio sounds like, but I'm not necessarily so great yet at being able to level and equalize that myself. And the fact that this has an algorithm that will do that for you and reduce background noise and take care of all those extra little pieces is fantastic. So from that, I'll download the WAV file that it provides. I'll import the file into a program called Forecast, and that's a free program. And what that allows me to do is add metadata to the audio file because it'll export out an MP3 and it'll attach the metadata to that. So that's how I add a custom cover for each episode. I'll add a title and description, and I'll add chapters, and then I can get an MP3 out of that. So then I upload that MP3 to Simplecast or wherever you might choose to host your podcast. And then a lot of this is copy and paste. I add that same information into Simplecast, so that's within the RSS feed. And then I'll also use that same information to build the newsletter inside of MailChimp and add that information into our website. So on average, the whole process takes about 7 to 10 hours to produce a single episode. I know that sounds ridiculous. And if you're starting out, you may think that is way too long or too short. But I think the biggest factor is how long you want to spend editing it. So I actually edit our podcast quite a bit. I remove any awkward pauses, anytime we say, screaming children, barking dogs in the background. So some of it just depends on how polished you want the end product to be.
Yeah, we talked about this with YouTube as well. Like, you can spend more or less time, but at the end of the day, you want to have something that gets produced and you share that you're proud of. And we certainly have had our fair share of children in the background, dogs in the background, that sort of stuff. So we want to make sure we clean that up. And it's interesting too, like if you look at the behind the scenes, we've had a couple of live stream episodes. If you actually were there for those live before the audio gets edited, you can see that this is not a perfect science. Like, we have awkward pauses and we sometimes don't know what to say next. And that is what it is. Like, no one is actually as perfect as they sound in a podcast episode after it's been edited. So just know that if you listen to a podcast and you're like, wow, these people are absolutely spot on perfect, it's probably been edited pretty good. They might already be pretty good at speaking and they probably have a good dynamic with each other, but doing the editing, removing those really awkward pauses makes an amazing amount of difference.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to do the transition? Speaking of awkward pauses, we just had one.
Yeah. Yes. We should keep that too. So for those of you who are listening, I took in a breath and I was going to do the transition, but I take in the breath as I'm watching Amy to see if she's about to talk. And then she kind of took in a breath and then was like, are you doing it? Anyway, what we wanted to transition to is the last of the regular piece of content here, which is things we wish we would have done differently or we may be able to do in the future. And I've got a couple on my end that come top of mind. One of the things that I want to do a better job at is being able to highlight the people that are involved in the podcast that ask questions, that sort of stuff, on social media. So one of the things I would like to do is, as people ask grab bag questions, which we'll get to that section in a second, is to take the clip out of that and post that back to Twitter and tag that person. And I think it gets them a little bit of visibility for being a contributor to the podcast, but also gives them that direct feedback for them to know that we take their questions seriously. Otherwise, they just have to listen to the episode. And I think we should be giving back a little more intentionally or specifically to the people that are involved. So that's one of the things that I would like to do. Another thing that we've talked about is doing blog post articles. We'll talk about blogs in the next episode of this content creation series and the benefits behind that. But we'd like to do articles that help recap and highlight some of the themes that are in our episodes. And that's just another way to gain more awareness to the stuff that we're doing. If we do a minimal version, just kind of quick bullet points, blog article that's quick and easy for people to read and say, hey, we run this podcast called Compressed FM. If you want to listen to the 40 or 50 minute long episode and get all the details, go and check us out on your favorite podcatcher. That's the word of the day today. So I think all of that goes back to getting ourselves a little more exposure, being a little bit more intentional about sharing the stuff we're working on, while at the same time highlighting the people that contribute back to us and that really engage in the podcast by sharing directly back to them, hey, we took your questions and your engagement seriously. Here are the answers we came up with.
Yeah, I think the two things that I would do differently just to continue to build off that is with the blog post articles, not even just summarizing, but also creating in-depth blog posts on certain topics. So it's one thing to explain it in audio. It's another to see the code and read it or see a design file and how I've structured something than it is just to get that through audio. Another piece is I wish we had stacked up iTunes reviews ahead of time. Not to try and necessarily game the system, but when it comes to podcasting, most people are going to find your podcast through iTunes, and the findability piece of it can be difficult. I don't think any of us can deny that Apple is probably the largest podcatcher of choice. And so one of the things that they use in their algorithm is to see how many reviews have been posted about that podcast. So hint, go give us a rating on iTunes. But if we had lined up a few friends or given certain people early access to the podcast to say, hey, would you mind, be honest, but post what you think on iTunes, I think that that would have given us a little bit bigger bump when we first launched.
So the moral of the story is, if you have not given a review and you're enjoying the podcast, drop what you're doing right this second and go and fill out one of the reviews. People do this all the time on YouTube. Like, subscribe, comment. It helps the algorithm so I can do more videos, right? So we can do more podcast episodes.
Smash that button.
That's right. Go and do it now.
Yeah. Even if you don't listen on iTunes or through an Apple sponsored application, whatever. That is helpful if you post a review on their platform.
Absolutely.
Real quick, we wanted to highlight one of our sponsors, and that's Zeal, and they are hiring. They design custom applications and develop primarily in Rails and React. They're a remote-first company. Even before the pandemic, they're based out of Southern Oregon, but I live outside of Nashville, and we have team members across the entire country. But Zeal holds a special place in my heart because, as I mentioned, I work there. But I can honestly say it's the best place that I've ever worked. And good news for you, they are hiring, so you could work with me. At Zeal, one of our core principles is bridge the gap. So we've noticed there's a gap in the industry between juniors and seniors. So we want to help juniors level up and achieve that next level within their career path. So with that in mind, I'm going to highlight a particular job that we're hiring for right now, and I'm super stoked about this. It's called the Software Residency, and this position is specifically for that junior designer or developer that wants to be mentored and level up and eventually become a senior. So this position is all about becoming that unicorn, for lack of a better word, but it's that person that can do UI, UX, and development. So similar to a medical residency, you'll be partnered actually with me, and we'll work together on projects. We'll also be partnering with Learn, which is a coding bootcamp, and they'll provide career growth and professional development through one-on-one coaching. So I think the whole setup is pretty unique. You can find more information on the website, softwareresidency.com. And of course, I'll include a link within the show notes. Special thanks to Zeal for being a Compressed.fm sponsor.
So that's the main piece of content that we have about podcasts, but we do have a few questions in our grab bag questions section. This is where we take questions from friends and strangers alike on the internet. And the first one is from our MVP in the podcast with grab bag questions, is Developer Cam. And Developer Cam is asking, what have you learned since starting this podcast? What are your future goals, ambitions for the podcast? And will we see more live versions of the podcast in the future? Amy, do you want to take a first stab at answering this?
Sure. I mean, I've learned a lot just from working with James. He mentioned earlier having like those dedicated sections for either a YouTube video or a podcast. That's something I picked up from him. I have witnessed it, but I wouldn't have thought about that. So even that specific component is something that I've learned since doing this. We share different tech news each week, and we share gadgets and picks and plugs. So it's one of my favorite things, actually, that I do all week. It's just being able to talk shop with a friend. As someone that works remotely from my house, I don't always have that opportunity to talk to a coworker. So it is fun to be able to have those conversations.
James is blushing.
What are my goals and ambitions for the podcast? I think just to reach more people. And that's not from a place of selfish ambition, but just being able to help more people. I think one of my highlights from doing streaming, from doing podcasts, from writing blog posts, from doing YouTube videos was we had Allie recently jump on the stream and say, hey, I just got my first dev job. Thanks for all the content that you're producing. And seriously, that has been like one of my highlights over the last almost 2 years of doing this, is knowing that I help somebody else achieve their dreams and their career goals. And we will definitely do more live versions in the future. That's also another really fun thing for me that we do.
Yeah, I love doing the live versions. I think I just love being on live streams. I think it's for the exact same reason you just said. I love the community feel of doing a live stream or a podcast. I would say for me, like, goals and ambitions is I want to grow too. And for those reasons, like, the more people that you can have sending positive words or that have extra things that they can contribute, the more conversations you can spark. That's the kind of stuff that, like, gets me up in the morning. That's the kind of stuff that keeps me creating content. And I will say, like, from a YouTube perspective, again, having had a lot of growth in the last year, I get so many more comments of people. I get more negative comments too, but I get so many more comments from people saying, wow, I didn't know this. I'm so glad you shared this. Or you get something like, I just went through and finished my bootcamp, or I just found my first job. Like, those sort of things really make our day. Like, we genuinely both, I think, believe in the benefit of growth from just having more people involved and having more of the community feel. What are other things that I envision for the future? I think we touched on this earlier. Like, I want to do a better job of driving that community feel. And some of that is driving more awareness through blog articles and that kind of stuff. So we share a little bit, maybe SEO friendly awareness to the content that we have, but also coming back and highlighting some of the grab bag questions and tagging those people in those responses on Twitter, that sort of stuff. I actually want to work on a script that will go and grab the full length video and, like, take timestamps and then grab that little snippet and then have it ready for me programmatically. I think that would be really cool and make it easier for us to highlight those people on social media. What have I learned? I think the biggest thing here, coming from having a pretty established audience on YouTube, and this is similar from my learnings on TikTok, is each platform that you want to get into is a totally different beast. Like, no matter how many followers I have on YouTube, it doesn't directly correlate to necessarily a ton of followers and listeners to the podcast. Like, we have to earn that on the platform by continuing to create good content and continuing to raise awareness to the stuff that we're doing. So that's an interesting challenge. And it's an eye opener because you see other people with big platforms and they go to a new one and you're like, how do they have such a little following? And it's because it's still an earned thing. Like, you still have to earn that respect and trust from people in that specific content. So I think that's been a big learning for me of how do we get more creative to try to build more of an audience and how to give back to more people. So we've also got a several point question, and maybe we'll kind of pick a few of these from, I assume this is a Spanish name, Horacio Herrera. Their first question is, how important is consistency on publishing dates? I think my general response would be consistency in terms of keeping a cadence, I think, is typical advice that you'll hear on all platforms, specifically for podcasts as well. The ones I listen to, I'm expecting that podcast episode to be available each Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever it is. For us, it's Tuesdays. Was there any research that you did, Amy, into Tuesdays being the optimal day for people in terms of expecting content to come out?
I did see that Tuesday was an optimal day, but it's funny, as I went back, I think you can find arguments for just about any day of the week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, again, it just comes back to consistency is even more important than which particular day you pick. Yeah. And for us, even having sponsors on top of that, it means that not releasing is not an option. Like, it has to go out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. The follow-up question, is it better to launch episodes that are related to each other? Does it matter to have a season theme? We haven't gone through the concept of seasons yet. Maybe we will, but we are in the middle of kind of a mini series on content creation and the benefits and things that come along with it. So I think that's kind of cool. I think giving people something to expect, especially if you find a topic that you know people are looking for, building that out with more episodes on the same topic that you know people want, I think that's definitely something to consider as you're building out your pipeline for content.
Yeah, I think when you're launching, it's best if you can release 3 to 4 episodes at a time just on that particular launch date. And that's what we did. We launched with 4 episodes. And part of that is because if somebody listens to one episode, they like it, you want to give them extra content that they can then immediately go to when they want to make that decision of whether they're going to stick around or not. But of those 4, 2 of them are kind of related. We both shared our origin story so that our listeners would know in general who we are, but the other 2 weren't as related. And then in terms of having a season theme, so the Zeal podcast is based on seasons. And one of the things that I've seen in that podcast specifically is that it's almost as if they have to fight for listeners every single season. That because there has been a break, people get out of the habit of listening to that particular podcast. And so then when they start back up after that break, it's almost as if they're starting from scratch. So one of the things that we've done whenever we need like quote a break, either because of scheduling or vacation or something like that, is we've tried to record enough episodes ahead of time so that we can still maintain our cadence and our release schedule.
Yeah, going back to consistency, mm-hmm. just being the main focus out of all of that. So those are our grab bag questions. Now we're going to move into picks and plugs. We alluded to this earlier on in the episode, but in this section, we pick something that we enjoy. Maybe we'll compete on technologies that we've purchased recently, maybe not. And then we'll plug something of our own that we want to share with people. So Amy, do you have picks and plugs you want to share with us?
Yeah. So I just finished listening to an audiobook, and I don't listen to a ton of audiobooks, but I listened to this one, which was great, just walking the dog. But I listened to a book called The Ride of a Lifetime, and it's the story of Michael Iger. He is the CEO of Disney and has been the CEO for the last almost 20 years. And so in the book, he talks about how he reached that position, but also how he coordinated the contracts and licensing to be able to buy Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars. So it was incredibly interesting just hearing his take on Disney and how they've grown over the last 20 years. And then my plug for the week, I'm going to plug my Twitch stream. I've started streaming every morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central. There's some great people that have been joining us in the chat every morning, and we'll do different things. We do a little bit of design, a little bit of development, but it's just become a fun way for me to start off my morning. So that's at twitch.tv/selfteachme. James, what about you?
So I have been talking a lot about like TikTok and equipment and things we've bought recently. So I just bought a little portable light that uses a cold shoe mount. So it kind of screws into the top of a camera, or if you have some sort of like mobile rig or a clip for your phone that has a cold shoe mount, it clips into it and kind of screws down. And it basically gives you a little portable light that you can carry around. And it has like different levels of brightness, but it's really great for those kind of like simple videos where you're walking around your house or you're going to the kitchen or something, you don't have optimal light. You just turn it on and now you've got a light source with you right in front of your camera. And it's small, it's light, it's easy to pack and take around in your bag and connect to a pretty standard cold shoe mount that I mentioned. So it's about $20 on Amazon. This brand specifically is Ulanzi. And there's lots of different versions of these. So you can probably just kind of pick one on Amazon that has good reviews and run with it. But this is specifically the one that I just bought for myself, and I've used it in a couple of my TikTok videos. So people should go and check that out. So that's my pick for this week in my plugs. Well, I said TikTok. Follow me on TikTok at James Q Quick. But more importantly, I mentioned the jschallenges.com. So this has got up the most basic landing page that you can ever see. It's just HTML. There's no CSS or anything. But I will be working on a mini series of JavaScript challenges for you to work through. And there's two goals there. Is one, to learn JavaScript better, to learn the ins and outs and details of JavaScript. And then two, to do that in a practical way of solving problems and then help you prepare for doing like whiteboarding interviews or just conversationally, how do you solve problems in an interview? So those are the two goals. It's going to be a series of mini courses. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but I'm starting to flesh that out in my mind, but jschallenges.com is where it's at. And for the time being, you can sign up for my newsletter at jamesqquick.com/newsletter, and I'll send out updates about the course as I have them.
I love the design. It is quality. Yes.
It's totally me. I almost like kind of want to leave something like that because it's like a conversation starter.
Oh, yeah.
Like I almost feel like it's worth it for a little bit to just do that.
Did you ever see the Captain Marvel website? Mm-mm.
No,
I don't know if it's still up, but if you're a Marvel fan, Captain Marvel was based out of the 90s. And so their marketing website was designed like a 90s website. Nice. It had like the blinking tag and scrolling stuff. It was quality.
Love it. It's totally the look I should be going for. All right. So that is going to wrap up our episode on starting your own podcast. The next episode, we'll talk about starting your own blog and the benefits that come along with that as well. In the meantime, that's all we got.